This episode of the Sales Leadership Podcast is brought to you by Sales Leadership United. Since 2019, Sales Leadership United has grown to become the largest collection of sales leadership assets in the world. Check out salesleadershipunited.com and tap into tools used by elite sales leaders worldwide. Accelerate your leadership development. Solve modern sales challenges. Use fully prepped sales meetings in your next team meeting. Thousands of hours of sales leadership materials indexed and searchable with a single click. Create your own personal sales leadership library. Head to salesleadershipunited.com and use the code Rob at signup to get a free trial on me. Hi, I'm Rob Jepson, and my mission is to help sales leaders everywhere create record-setting growth from the companies they lead. I'm here to share the secrets of the world's most successful sales leaders. I don't care how big the company or how big the team, we showcase sales leaders who are taking what the market gives and then some. This show features leaders of teams who are beating their markets, winning at crazy rates, and creating life-changing years for the people they lead. The Sales Leadership Podcast is brought to you by Sales Leadership United, the world's largest collection of sales leadership assets. Be sure to check out the all-new salesleadershipunited.com. Fast-track your sales leadership development, gain insights into how other sales leaders are solving challenges similar to the ones you face, and tap into over 400 leadership topics, hundreds of video insights, battle-tested leadership frameworks, and new material that comes out every single week. Sales Leadership United is the easiest investment in yourself you'll ever make. Head to salesleadershipunited.com, use the code Rob at signup, and get a free trial on me. Now, get ready for some serious insights from sales leaders who are making it happen. And remember, don't worry, we got you. Hello, and welcome to the Sales Leadership Podcast, where high-growth sales leaders share high-growth practices and tactics. Man, I am so glad to hear from so many of you on just how helpful this last round of guests have been for you. I'm so grateful for your support of our show. I'm so appreciative for all the DMs that keep hitting me every single day as you thank me for either guests or you tell me how the show has been helpful to your career. Don't slow down. Keep it coming. It's why I do this. And today I got good news. You're going to want to hit me up again after this one because I got a good one today. Today's guest, this is a fun one for me to introduce. I got a modern day Ron Burgundy. And by that, what I mean is he's kind of a big deal. I'm really, really excited to welcome one of the most important names in sales to our show for the very first time. And after 5 years of creating the top podcast for sales leaders, man, this guest is long overdue. I am pumped to welcome John Kaplan to the show today. John is the president and managing partner of Force Management. And for over 20 years, John and the Force team have helped organizations drive both profitable and predictable growth by training sales and customer-facing teams. But I don't want you to think this is just another sales training team, because it ain't. This is the team that brought us tools like Medic. They've worked with some of the most iconic sales organizations in the world, helped architect some of the greatest success stories in the world, won way more than their share of awards along the way. And John Kaplan, he's emerged as one of the most impactful and influential sales leaders in sales history. Now, I'm really excited to have John join me. He's done the job every single one of us that's listening to this show is being asked to do right now. And he's done it with wild success. He hosts his own show. He speaks on topics that matter most to sales leaders. He works with sales organizations of all sizes. And maybe most important, this guy is not an armchair quarterback. John has stayed in the game and he understands the challenges facing sales organizations in ways that few do. Today's conversation, it's one you're going to really enjoy. But if you choose to, it'll also be a conversation that will help you create more impact with the members of your team almost immediately. So if you can't tell, I can't wait to get started. So let's roll. John, welcome to the Sales Leadership Podcast, and thank you so much for joining me.
Hey, buddy. Rob, it's such a great honor to be on your show. And I have to admit, I was kind of looking around. If you're looking at the YouTube version of this, I'm kind of looking around to wonder who the heck you're talking about. But I really, really appreciate the invite. Keep doing what you're doing. You got a great voice and platform out there. And thanks for having me on, brother.
Oh, dude, I'm excited. I'm one of the people who have been through your curriculum. As a sales leader earlier in my career, was fortunate enough to be trained on the things that you guys were training on at the time. I know you evolve that and keep that going, so it's always current, always modern, and not like the old gray mare that ain't what she used to be. And so I've seen firsthand. I'm a beneficiary of you, so I'm grateful to you. And today we got 50,000 people who are going to be better off because they're going to get introduced to your way of thinking. So, John, why don't we start for people who might be newer to sales or just have had their head in the ground that might not know who you are? Why don't you introduce yourself and what you guys do at Force Management?
Yeah, so simply, I'm John Kaplan. I'm one of the co-founders of a cool company out there called Force Management. And what Force Management does is really create incredible productivity opportunities. We basically work with software companies, technology companies, and we help them sell their software. And there's a number of things that we do inside of that, but that's really what we're known for. So myself and, excuse me, myself and the other co-founder, Grant Wilson, are former SVPs at a company called PTC, which was one of the most dominant, productive, effective, predictive software companies on the planet. And we left PTC about 2003 and we formed Force Management. And for the last 20 some years, we've been really, really fortunate to work with some of the greatest technology companies on the planet. Today, we're pretty much in the who's who of the technology companies. And we've been very, very lucky because, Rob, you look at that team at PTC back in the day, they've gone on to create something like, I think it's over $300 billion in market cap in
No
different,
way.
oh yeah, in different companies. You look at the companies like, Blade Logic, which turned into BMC, which turned into not turned into, but the leaders then went to MongoDB and from Opsware to HP to Andreessen Horowitz to Snowflake to, I mean, we just got really, really lucky, man. Those were all of our friends, and they're still all of our friends, and it created an unbelievable ability for us to go out and just help companies, achieve their numbers, differentiate themselves with their customers, and really lead great teams. So in a nutshell, that's kind of us. I probably didn't do a real great job of it, but www.forcemanagement.com does a really good job of it.
Let's go, dude.
Let's go.
I love it. We could have our whole show on just what you talked about, this coaching tree concept, that your definition of success is from all the people that you worked with and $300 million of market cap,
Billion, billion.
billion. Yeah, I said it right. As soon as I said, yeah, 300 billion. Yeah, a market cap. That's a conversation in and of itself, that our definition of success isn't what we accomplish, it's what the impact is on those that we worked with goes on to accomplish.
Love that, dude. Yeah, I love that. I love the concept of, if you're listening to this and you're a leader, for me that you can tell me all the things you want to tell me about what kind of leader you are. But as Rob said, like, I look at the leadership tree, like who has developed under you. It's like an old, football, or I don't care what, anything, soccer, whatever you're into. You look at like who develops under these leaders, and there's always a tree. Like there's always Parcells people, there's Bill Walsh people, there is, if, sorry, this, I know this is a worldwide podcast, so the great soccer leaders, the great Formula One leaders, they always have people that they've developed. That is the mark of a great leader.
Amen. Maybe next time we have you back, because we've never really taken that on as a show, but it's one of my
Yeah.
favorite topics. Like, you learn, I agree with you. Like, my version of that, and we're gonna sit here for a second. I remember when I was a rep, John, you'll laugh at this. When I was young rep, I was just not justifying. I kept track of every dollar I sold. I wanted to be McDonald's. I wanted to personally get to billions and billions sold.
Yeah.
You remember those signs? I remember when I got my first $1 million deal, and I was like, okay, how am I going to get to a billion? Well, when I became a sales leader, I started like tracking my success by all the deals that everybody on my team did. When I got to that billion, it was not because of what I did, it was because of what the others did. But I realized that was the wrong way to judge success. What my success became was all the pictures of these people and what happened in their careers after they got done working with me, not while they were working with me, after they got done working with me. That's when I knew.
Yeah, I love that, what you just described there, Rob. I'm kind of on a different kick right now in my life. I am so focused. I've been so focused for the last, 30, 40 years on outcomes. I would always say, I don't, don't judge me on the tactics or whatever. Judge me on the outcomes. I've actually changed that a little bit, Rob. And today, I'm going to be 61 in April. And if you're watching this podcast, you go ahead and check me out. I don't look my age, so I want some DMs about that.
Let's go. Hit him with the DMs, because he don't look like DMs. 61. You're right, man.
Right. But I will tell you, like you said, for me, and I really want to, I don't want to lecture to your audience. I just want to give them spirit. The value for me today is in the work. It's in the day. And the wonderful relationships and the wonderful opportunities to just be great on a daily basis. I'm a lot more focused on the day than I've ever been in my life. I used to be just solely focused on the outcomes. I'd cruise through the days and crush the outcomes. And what happens is you miss a lot of living, man, and a lot of leading and a lot of like golden nuggets and reflection at the end of the day. So I would encourage you, if you're listening to this, to, really reflect at the end of the day. I call it, I call it a little how you living. At the end of the night, I sit down with myself and I say, how you living? And what it means is, what did I do today to like give myself energy or give other people energy or to have an impact? kind of a cool thought.
Dude, I'm like liking where you are right now so much. I almost don't want to talk about what we thought we were going to talk about, because I think that's way more important. I think that not enough, we don't prioritize ourselves. We prioritize those outcomes at the expense of ourselves. I've seen that. I've been guilty of that. Tons of people I coach are guilty of that. I think we got 50,000 people that probably at least 40,000 of them are like, yeah, that's me.
Yeah. And don't get us wrong, though, bro, because I'm a believer. Outcomes are the measurement. It's not the day that's the measurement. The outcomes are the measurement. But I believe the outcomes take care of themselves when you focus on the day, like in the work. So I know when I woke up this morning, I have time with you, an hour with you, and I get to get spirit, get energy, give energy. And like, I take that very, very seriously, man. I'm prepared for it. And I'm like, this is going to be a great day. And at the end of the day, your meeting and a few other meetings that I have, I'm going to look back and I'm going to say, okay, how you living? How you living? And I'm going to feel good about my day today. And that for me is like really, really good headspace for me to be in. The outcomes are coming, man. I believe they come. When you live by the day, the outcomes come. And it's kind of like, without sounding cheesy, that's what I think people mean by living in the present. I really believe that. And it took me a long time to, I'm older, I've had some success. People might be listening and go, well, that's easy for you to say, dude. But it's not really easy for me to say, because it took a lot of work. It takes a lot of work.
I love your outlook, dude. Like I said, I think we're going to, if you will indulge me, I want to have you back again sooner and talk about that, because that is also a product of what today is. Back in the early 2000s when I was repping, nobody talked about that stuff, dude. Nobody. No. It was only the scoreboard. And I'm with you. Let's make no mistake. We are in a scoreboard industry. As salespeople, the scoreboard freaking matters. And we're going to talk about that today. And the scoreboard has to ring up predictably. It's not just, we can't have happy accidents. Happy accidents get us fired almost as fast as missing do. Okay. So I want to come back and talk about that, because that is a meaningful concept. And I think that your experiences, you have been successful and it's helped you so you can find those things. But man, you don't have to wait till the very end of an illustrious great career to start saying, how am I living? That's a lens you could be looking through from day one, right?
Yeah, dude. I'll tell you, like my day, when I think about it, I wake up and I'm 60, but I don't feel like that anymore. I feel like I'm 60 in a day, 60 in 2 days, 60 in 3 days, 60 in 4 days.
Let's go.
But a lot of us, we're waking up and we're like, I went from 20 to 40, and what the heck happened? I got a family. I have responsibilities. I have, life is good. Anyways, I don't want to get sappy on people, but if I could give any advice from the chair that I sit in,
Yeah.
I would spend a lot more time asking myself on a daily basis how you living. And yeah, I would have changed some things for sure.
I'm telling you, if all that happens from today's show is people apply the how you live in lens to the end of their day, because I believe reflection is a very underused tool. I don't think we reflect often enough. And my coach has taught me that. I'm grateful to one of my coaches that makes me do that. So let's get shifted back over. We'll come back to this. I want to ask you one question that I ask everyone, John, and it almost feels stupid because you're this iconic guy, but I'm dying to hear it because you are the iconic guy. I'm still trying to find the person that said, I knew I was going to be in sales when I grew up. Was that you? Were you the guy who was going to be in sales when you grew up?
I'm pretty close.
Okay,
Let me
hit
tell
me.
you a couple of things.
Yeah.
We had some trouble when I was growing up. My dad was a really an incredible, incredible man. My parents were just really incredible, but like any other families, you just have crap that goes on. And we had some trouble in the family. And my mom hit some hard times with some addiction, and my dad, my dad's immense. He's the greatest man I've ever seen, I've ever met, most knowledgeable, but he's taught me something. He gave up everything, dude. Like we lost our house, lost our cars, lost everything because my dad quit his job to take care of the family while my mom tried to recover from her addiction. And now let me tell you where
Incredible.
that's going. So I'd walk to school every day and I would be like, we moved into an apartment. We were in a very wealthy community called Bloomfield Hills, Michigan. It was very difficult for me to be there. All my friends were still there, but like we lost our house. Everybody knew we lost our house. We lost everything. So we're living in a little apartment now and, going to a pretty fancy school district. And I would kind of walk to school every day and I would just tell myself, I got to make it, man. Like, and I invented something called Capco Industries. So
No
I,
way.
oh yeah. Yeah. It was called Capco Industries. And I said, I'm going to own Capco Industries one day. Well, actually, Force Management, I worked for Xerox and PTC and then Force Management was my company, but dude, there is a Capco LLC and it does some kind of cool stuff. And I was able to realize that dream. But when I got a little bit older and I was getting recruited for college football, I was lucky enough to get a scholarship to play football. One of my mentors was a guy named Ron Grenadier. And I worked in a steel processing plant. And if you check out that podcast, the Revenue Builders podcast with Pepper Johnson, who's one of my friends, who's a 5-6-time Super Bowl winner.
Yeah.
I worked with him in the warehouse. Now he was good enough to play for Ohio State. I was not. So I went on to play for Bowling Green. But anyways, Mr.
Let's
G,
go.
Mr. G was my mentor and he owned a steel processing plant, basically kind of scrap metal and steel processing. And he would pick me up. I didn't have a car. I'm not trying to get people to feel sorry for me. A lot of people don't have cars and that kind of crap, but he would drive me to work every day. And he owned the company. So at the end of the day, Rob, I would sit there and I would watch him do deals. And he's one of the greatest salesmen I've ever met in my life. He was unbelievable. A guy named Ron Grenadier, God rest his soul. He just passed away, I think about a year and a half, 2 years ago. And I was fortunate enough to speak at his funeral, which was a great, great treat.
Wow.
Yeah. But I would sit in the chair in his office in my work clothes, my dusty old work clothes, and watch him do deals. And Rob, I'm telling you, I was probably, I don't know, 18, 19 years old. I said, I'm going to be a salesman.
That's me. All right. You are close, dude.
I'm
And thank
close.
you for sharing your story, man.
Yeah.
I didn't know any of that. And I feel lucky that you shared that with our listeners. So thank
you.
Hey,
let me not get people bummed out. Check out my mom, Eileen Kaplan, Project Welcome Home Troops. She's passed away, but she not only recovered, but she worked on military bases around the world at the age of 85 to help soldiers from committing suicide. So all's well that ends well.
John, thank you, man.
You're
man,
welcome.
Like I said, if we just stopped right now, everybody that's listening to this episode's better off on how you live in and then your story like this. So this is awesome. So I want to dive into a little bit that's sales related. You've been in the game for a long time and you're still working with the people that are the very best, most iconic. So you know what's going on right now in a way that few do.
Yeah.
I think it's a noisy space out there right now. And have you ever seen it be noisier than it is right now? Like your perspective?
It's kind of funny now that we get older, Rob. You're probably saying this like some of the younger people are saying, man, it's so noisy. Remember when your parents were telling you, you know, the political climate, you know, back in the 60s, it was this, and back in the 70s, it was that. So I kind of think that's what it is. It's like, it's just modern day noise. Yes, I've seen noise before. Heck, I saw noise in COVID. I saw noise in 2001. I saw noise. So life is about seeing noise. And it's not so much seeing noise. It's about like how you react to the noise, which I think, because guess what? We'll have this podcast 10 years from now. There's going to be some new noise. And I can't even imagine what that noise is going to be, but it's probably going to be pretty nasty. So it's your ability to face the noise and to be resilient in the noise is, I think, the conversation you and I want to have.
I really like that. So the ability to react to noise, face noise, and rise above noise is a skill. It's not something that, oh, you were fortunate.
Not an event.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And it's not lucky. There's no happy accidents, I've learned. I don't know what your take on that is. Is happy accidents are bullshit. Like, I just don't believe in that. So
I agree.
So how do you do that? So I like this a lot because you're right. We are in a place where everything's amplified. It's really easy to amplify somebody who's legit like you or somebody who's a pretender that whatever. When you say we got to be able to face the noise and rise above it, what do you mean? Like, how does someone go about doing that?
Let me give you an example, bro.
Yeah.
So COVID hits. I have a really good friend of mine named Carlos Della Torre. He used to work with us back at PTC, and then he went on to do some really unbelievably great things, and he's still active in the marketplace. Check him out on LinkedIn. He's a beast. But he gave me a call during COVID, and COVID was just, man, it's one of the rare times in my life where everybody's boat in the harbor went down.
Yeah.
But not every, you know how they say all boats rise together in the harbor? That's not true. That's not true for me. I see boats rise differently in the harbor. And so check this out. Carlos is at a company called Trip Actions. So he calls me during COVID. And what Trip Actions does is create unbelievable algorithms and services for travel. Are you with me?
I'm with you.
He calls me and he says, hey, John, I need your help. I said, okay, you know, I know what his company is. I'm like, I'm not sure I can help you, bro. Like, nobody's traveling. And he goes, no, I need your help. The leadership team has gotten together and we need to pivot. And I'm like, okay. What do you need to pivot? Like,
how are you doing that? Yeah.
Dude, it's unbelievable. So they gave me spirit. So they took our four essential questions that you and I have talked about, Rob. These are the four essential questions of value that you have to have in audible ready, no matter where you are or what you do.
Those four really fast for our listeners.
You got
let's hear them. Yeah.
What problems do you solve for your customers? Number one, what problems do you solve for your customers? Number two, how specifically do you solve them? Number three, how do you solve them differently or better than anybody else? And number four, where have you done it before? And these are basically the cornerstone principles of value creation. Now, check this out. Carlos knows this. And he looks at it and goes, okay, what problems do we solve? The day after the COVID breakout, that changed for their customers. Their customers had different problems. Let's think about it. Instead of just booking travel through travel agencies and that kind of stuff, we need to know where the COVID hotspots are. We need to know the rules and regulations in each one of the countries. Dude, I'm going to tell you, listen to me, a travel company skyrocketed in value during COVID. Never seen anything like it. And it's ripped my face off. And that's what I'm talking about in rising above the noise. So they had the answers for these four essential questions, like every great company has to have right now. But when something changes in the environment, something changes, noise begins in an environment, your customers are going to begin to squirm and pivot, and you got to pivot along with them. If you can't, okay, what problems do we solve? It's the same problems we solved last week, but the noise came this week, and now we can't solve their problems. That is, for me, that's the number one differentiator of value on the planet. Does it make sense?
John, more than you know, you used a really important word that maybe I'm sure you used it on purpose. I'm sure you didn't do anything on accident, but I want to go back to one word that you used for our listeners. You use the word transitions. Times of transitions are really important times. You know, people are afraid of transitions sometimes. People are trapped in transitions sometimes. Transitions for other people, like you said, that's why things go up and down. Because if there were never transitions, then it would be really hard to have like times where you catch up or pass people or whatever. But I see a lot of people. That's one of the reasons I love you. You tell me, oh, Rob, I'm 60 years old, whatever. I say bullshit. You're still like someone that's right at the very beginning because you're so good at transition.
I can still sling it, brother.
I'm saying.
Hey, you're ripping my face off on this one.
You haven't been trapped in transitions. I think that's a really interesting thing.
Well, let's talk about the how on that, dude, because that hasn't been me my whole life. Now that I'm at the seat that I'm in right now, I'm going to tell you how to rise above the noise also. It's really good. You just gave me chill bumps because I was thinking about it before you said it. And that's probably why you do such a great job on your podcast. But I want you to write down this concept. Impermanence of change.
Say it again.
The impermanence of life. The impermanence of life. Let me tell you. The leaders, the people, the individual contributors that I think are the healthiest mentally and physically and most productive are the ones who embrace the impermanence of life. And what I mean by that, life changes every day. And I believe actually that's what creates suffering in this world, that people that don't embrace the impermanence of change, they suffer. And I'm speaking from experience. Like, there's things that have changed in my life and I don't like it. And I try to hang on to it. I grab onto it like a dog grabs onto a bone. And I always suffer when I do that. But I got to tell you, there are people that I've met and I like kind of where I'm at in my life. And I'm embracing the permanence of change. So when I see change, I know it hits me a certain way and I feel it in my body. And I'm like, ooh, I might do a little shallow breathing or something, but it's a great trigger for me to go, okay, dude, buckle up. This is where you rise above because you embrace the change. And you know what? There's some nasty change out there. There's health change. There's people getting sick. But you know what? God created this saying for a reason. Nothing lasts forever. Nothing lasts forever. And it's in business. It's in personal. And if you get up and face the day like that, and you're like, okay, I'm going to embrace the impermanence of life today. I'm telling you, at the end of the day, when you say, how am I living? You're going to like the answers. I don't mean to get too mushy on you, but those are big for me. Big.
I think that's massive. I love this. I'm one of the guys that I love inventing words, and you just invented a word I have to give you credit for every time, but maybe I'll get like a little more cred because I stole it from you. Impermanence. I love that fake word, impermanence.
And I actually think that's a word, dude, but I didn't invent it. But what
I'm
going to
give you credit. I'm giving you credit for it.
What it means to me is, you know, you got to wake up in the morning and just really sit with the fact. This is a good exercise. Wake up in the morning and say, what is changing in my life? What is changing in my accounts? What is changing in my job? And how am I reacting to it? The people that don't react well to it, I want it to go back. I want to go back to where we were, or I'm worried about the future. Or the people that just say, okay, let me find it in the day. I'm going to tell you how I respond to it in the day. And I actually believe that those are the healthiest people on the planet. They're actually the most successful people on the planet, if that makes sense.
John,
I don't want to just throw these things out to you and just make it mushy gushy, but these are real.
It's not.
Okay.
This is very real because of what you said. Like, I loved your story about travel. Like they thrived when everybody else, like, listen, I know like two industries that got hammered maybe hardest were that food and the travel, those two areas, like the food world and the travel world.
And we saw, and you saw, Rob, you can see it today. There's all kinds of people that woke up and said, you know what? I am not going to suffer in this change. I'm going to innovate in this change. And look at all the great ideas and technologies and apps and services that came out of COVID. And so that's what I meant by not all boats rise in the harbor.
Yeah.
So you're sitting there listening to this and there's change. Don't expect that when the water rushes back into the harbor, that your boat's going to rise. You got to actively participate in your own rescue on this one.
So, John, I want to sit in this because this is an area that is has everything to do with not being deafened by the noise. Is it a smart move? And I want you to tell me if I'm wrong. If I'm wrong, it's okay. I'm wrong all the time. As a leader, should we be saying, "How can I change?" rather than, "Oh, is it time to change?" Like some, I think sometimes people only change when they have to. Like, when do I change? Oh, COVID hit, I have to. Or we have a new competitor, I have to. Like some, I've found people only like to change when they have to. What I'm asking you is, would an elite leader say, "Man, how can I change? How can I do something that hasn't been done or do it different or whatever?" Is that a healthy lens to look through?
I think it is a healthy lens, Rob, but I want to caution us. When you're a
Okay.
leader, you can't say I. And this is a hard one for
Love
me.
that. Love
This is a
that.
hard
Love
one for
that.
me because all these examples I'm giving you is what I'm doing on a daily basis. I'm waking up and saying, what's changing in my life? Leaders, you lose your ability to think about yourself first. And I know you know what I'm talking about. So when you wake up in the morning, you got to say, what are we facing?
We.
What are my people facing? And I've had some situations of force management where, like in the last 20 years, I wake up in the morning and I'm saying, okay, what am I facing? Okay, I know, whoa, my people are facing some stuff that I'm not facing, especially during COVID, compensation. And it just helped us make some really good decisions that weren't the same for everybody. You know, when Grant and I did what we did with our compensation, it was because we could wake up in the morning and go, okay, what are we facing? Okay, it was a little bit easier for Grant and I to handle some of this change in the economy, but not as easy for some of our employees. And I got to tell you, I think we did a good job. I think we do a good job when we think about I after we think about we. But I'm not telling you not to think about I. You got a family, you got things you got to do. You got to think about I, but you can't think about I without the we. When you're leading, you can't.
So good. So good, man. And I think that's an easy trap to fall into. Like I just did. You caught me saying I, and you're right. So this idea
I don't
of
want to get it wrong, Rob. I don't want to get to make you think, you know, you have to think about I. But when you're talking about leadership,
team,
you can't not think about we, or you're gonna miss it.
100, yeah, 100%. You couldn't be more dead on, and I'm sure you did handle the COVID thing in ways that other people didn't, because I saw too many people run for cover and just like, anyway, we don't need to go back in time because I like this. So your first idea on dealing with noise is saying, okay, let's look at the impermanence of change. My first way is okay, because I love your four questions. You got to be audible ready on them. We spun through those quick, but I've always liked those. I actually think I like number three has always been the one that's been my favorite. How do I do it different, do it better? That's always been one of the ones that I really, really have liked. And that probably is one of the first places, like if you're going to be saying, I'm going to embrace this impermanence of change, then we want to make sure that the first thing, yeah, we got to know what problem do we solve, obviously. And that problem may have to tweak and modify and grow and develop, and the problems change as life goes on. But how we do it different, how we do it better, that seems to me is one of the best ways to deal with noise.
Well, it is, Rob, and I don't want to go against what you're saying. I think what you're saying is the one that gives you spirit, the one that really helps you fight and compete when you think about it, is making sure that I can understand how I do it different and how I do it differently or better and why that's of value to the customer. But in reality, and I understand why, because when we're competitive, you got to have that. If you don't have that, you're lost. But in reality, what drives that is when the problem changes, so like at the travel industry, the problem changed. Guess what? That differentiation changed. You
So
with
you go
me?
back to number one every time.
You
You
got, I
always
go back
start
to
with
number
number
one
one.
every time, bro. And you know why? Because
Why?
there's a study out there that says, and we call it the seller deficit disorder. It's been the same for the last 50 years when they've studied this, but I believe it goes back to Egypt, man. It's like Egypt old. And
Let's go.
They asked buyers of goods and services about sellers, and they said, what are your problems with sellers? And Rob, it's been the same for the last 50 years. Number one, you don't understand my business. You
Okay.
don't understand my business, my problems, my pain. Number one. Number two, you don't listen very well. So I call it the seller deficit disorder. I do a lot of things when I wake up, so you're going to hear me say this. So when I wake up in the morning, I got to be asking myself, am I prepared to attach myself to the biggest business problems facing the customer? And if I do that, I'm going to make it all about them. And I call it the outside in approach versus the inside out. It starts with the customer's problem. Everything in life, even when your relationships are your husbands and wives or partners or whatever, it always starts, the most successful people, the ones with an outside in approach that says, okay, what I'm doing is I'm doing it in order to provide an opportunity or service for you on what's giving you a problem. That's my value to you. If it's a spouse, what's your spouse dealing with, a problem or challenge? Okay, how specifically can I help you with that? How can I do it differently or better than what we're doing now? And do I have a history of doing it before? I like this little model. Remember, a football player from Bowling Green kind of came up with this model a long time ago. It's not complicated, but it really revolves around almost everything in life.
So, John, now I want to sit in this for a little bit. I can't believe we're down to our last 20 minutes.
Dude, I can talk a dog off a meat wagon. I told you to be careful with me.
Brother, that's two of us, okay? Get two of us on a call like this, and who knows where it goes. That's why we didn't script this call that much.
We'll do a part two. Don't worry about trying to get it all into one. Don't worry about it.
Well, no, this is important. I remember I have something that some of our listeners have heard me refer to, but I want to run this past you. I can't wait. Given that number one, problem first, I loved what you said. Can I attach myself to the biggest problem they face? That what a great question to ask as you start your day. So you'll like this, and I want to get your take on it because I'm going to try to make you smile for a second. Then I want to get some insights from you for our listeners because I think this matters. I think you'll like where I'm going. So I used to tell people everything I needed to know about sales I learned from Vanilla Ice when he said, if there is a problem, yo, I'll solve it. Okay.
Yeah.
But now I've telling people that that's not quite enough because there's a lot of problems out there. And now I really attach myself to what Jay-Z says, where he says, I got 99 problems, but your pitch ain't one. Be very careful. That was a P that I had on there. I got 99 problems, but your pitch ain't one. And so everyone's got all these problems. And so I loved your qualifier. I'm going to attach myself to the number one problem. And like, I'm thinking of, I work with one of the largest financial institutions in the world, and they told me they had 98. I was like, why couldn't you have 99? So it'd be perfect for my training. You have 98 problems that were under the technology steering committee's review process. And for 2024, John, only four got funded.
Yeah.
So it wasn't enough to have a problem. Okay. There's 95 other sales teams that think they're in the game with this organization, but only four got funded. How do you move past, if there is a problem, yo, I'll solve it, to reconciling, I got 99 problems, but the pitch ain't one?
Dude, so good. You gave me goosebumps, man. That's so good. You got to put that in the show notes for me so I can go back and review that. But what you're really saying is, like, how do you prioritize what you hear
from a customer? Yeah, that's the word.
How do you prioritize what you hear from a customer? So this is such a good question. I get it a lot. It's like, there's so many problems. How do I know? And what sellers do is they're like, well, that's easy. What are the ones that I can solve? Yeah. And that's actually not the place where you start.
Vanilla Ice has got it wrong now. It doesn't apply today. Okay.
That's right. So one of the things that I do, and this is, again, it's going to be a Kaplanism or a...
Let's go.
Something that's really important to me is like being patient in sales. And I had to learn this the hard way because I came out, I was like so... it was like sales to me was like just an energy thing. And it was like the more calls I made, the more in fronts, I used to call it in fronts, the more people I could get in front of, like the more successful I would be. And actually I found is that the better that I listened gave me the ability to ask better questions. And so I learned this and I've just kind of put it together in the last few years, but like, so my father was a Lithuanian Jew and my mother was Irish Catholic. So I got kind of both the Old Testament and the New Testament in
my blood.
Yeah. Now, when my pops passed away, we had this concept called sitting Shiva. And it's a Yiddish term. And Shiva means, basically just sitting with people. It's kind of like the Shiva, it comes from Shiva, I think, which is like the 7 days of mourning. But anyways, the cool part about it is like when you go shit, when you go, sorry, when you go sit Shiva with somebody, you're not supposed to say anything. And so I start to think about this. I'm like, hold it. So you go to help somebody, but all you're supposed to do is you're supposed to be there with them. And you don't talk until somebody talks to you. These like are the rules of Shiva. So like if you don't say, oh, Rob, I'm sorry, your mother's in a better place. You know, this too shall pass, blah, blah, blah. You don't do that. That's not the rules of Shiva are you sit. So they just look over at you and they know you're there. Now, let me tell you what that's turned into for me in my business life. I don't sit Shiva enough. Like when I go in, I'm like, whoa, hey, Rob, I know, you know, I read this in the journal for you guys. You got this going on. You got this. For me, I ask a few questions, but I earn the right to talk about myself. And that's like Shiva. You earn the right when somebody says, hey, Rob, how you doing? Or hey, in the personal world, in Shiva, when they address you, then you can speak. And so what I take that, again, I don't like to get too mushy, but what I think about now, I actually say to myself, I say a lot of stuff to myself in the morning, but what I say to myself in the morning is, sit Shiva today. I do it when I lead. Somebody comes into my office and they're like, wah, bah, 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 bah. And I don't do a good job of that because I'm busy and I'm like, okay, let me get to the point and let me rephrase what you said to me. And a lot of times I'm wrong, but I'm just trying to get them out of my office because their negativity is killing me. But I know they have a problem. But when I sit Shiva, a lot of times what will happen, Rob, can you imagine? Have you ever had this where a customer says to you, you're on a call, no Zoom, they can't see a picture, whatever. And they actually say to you, Rob, are you there?
Yeah.
And you go, yes, I'm here. I'm just listening. Like if you're a leader and you're a seller. And if you haven't heard that in the last few years, somebody ask you a question like, are you still there? It means you're not listening. And so I got to be honest with you, younger career, I didn't have a lot of people. I was still there. They were like, you know, back in their chairs. Oh, this dude is here. He's on, his hair is on fire. His one leg is up on the desk and he's talking about, you know, Xerox or PTC. And, you know, I transitioned to patience. And when I really listen and I can hear the emotion that's attached to some of these 99 problems, I know which questions to ask. And by the way, the easiest question to ask after I understand the 99, Rob, which one of these are you most concerned about? No, it can't be that easy, Kaplan. Yeah, it's that easy. It's that easy.
John, what you just told me is the doorway to the priorities is patience.
It's listening and patience. Yeah. Good. You're not going to create the priority for them. There's an old saying that says, the more you try to tell me I have a problem, the more I'm going to resist you.
Yeah.
But the more you ask me questions that make me stand in the moment of my pain, I'm going to convince myself that I have a problem. That's legit advice.
Brother, that's good.
Dude, we're killing it this morning.
This is good. Man, we're this is killing good. It, buddy. Dude, that was good. We have 7 minutes left.
And, is that it?
We have 7 minutes left.
Have me back, dude. Don't try to squirm it in there because we got some other stuff to talk
about. We got stuff to talk about. And that's why I told you the show goes where it goes. And that's why people like it. Like, this was very authentic. And I really like it because this concept of problem first, make sure we get to the right problem. The way you do it is you sit Shiva. I've never heard that before, but you best believe that made an impact with me. So I got 50,000 listeners, and really, I love you all 50,000, but this, I'm being selfish. You made an impact on me, John. So thank you.
Thank you, brother. You too, man.
So I really like that. I want to turn it back to you. We're going to give you time, obviously, to make sure people know how to get a hold of you and Force Management and the different resources you have. I want to make sure I have time for that. In fact, why don't we do that first? Because I'm going to give it back to you to summarize how would you put a bow on it and some final thoughts for people. How do people get more of John Kaplan? How do people get more of Force Management and the amazing things? Because you got podcasts and resources, you got a lot of stuff, and we'll make access to it in the show notes. But how do people get more of you if they want it? Because they are going to.
Thanks for allowing us to talk about that. Like I said, we eat our own dog food on the four essential questions and those types of stuff. So if you go on to www.forcemanagement.com, you're going to see basically the answers to the four essential questions. We also do some cool stuff out in you know, out in the marketplace. I'm fairly active on LinkedIn. So if you have any questions for me, you can link into me on LinkedIn. We have a couple of podcasts, which are really killer, I believe. One's called the Revenue Builders Podcast. My co-host, John McMahon, the author of the best-selling book, Qualified Sales Leader. He's 5-time CRO. I used to work with him at PTC, and it's incredible. Yeah, there it is. There's the book. And it's incredible because, like, he and I have become like blood brothers. And we weren't blood brothers at PTC. He scared the crap out of me and everybody else that walked those halls. But we just do a really good job on that podcast. It's very, very popular and rated very well. There's another podcast I like that we do. And this one's more, so Revenue Builders around the stories of individuals that are revenue builders. And so you kind of hear the story and what people faced. There's another one that's called the Audible Ready Sales Podcast, which is basically the producers, myself, and other force management facilitators that are talking about specific skills. They last about 20 minutes, you know, from 12 to 20 minutes. And we get a lot of, and those come out all the time. But Revenue Builders comes out once a week. The Audible Ready comes out maybe a little bit more than once a week, but they're really, really legit podcasts that I would encourage you. We got another platform, Rob, because people are always saying to us, like, how do we get force management? If I can't get force management, if my company doesn't do force management and, you know, command of the message and, you know, command of the sale, command of the plan, command of the talent, how do we get access? And we did a really smart thing, Rob. We came up with an individual contributor platform that's got an unbelievable community, and it's called Ascender, ascender.co. So look that up, www.ascender.co, and you're going to find a community of elite individual contributors that are swinging for the fences. And we basically have taken a lot of the content that we talk about with companies, and we've put it into an individual contributor format. That's where you go. If you want to help yourself in your career, go to ascender.co and get certified in medic. Go get certified from Ascender. You'll have the certification that means the most in the marketplace right now on qualification. So that's a good plug for us there, brother.
We'll put all of those links in the show notes. John, you'll get me all those links, and I'll make it easy so they don't have to go searching for them. You just go look in the show notes. We'll make it easy. All right, so we're down to our last, call it 4 or 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And this is perfect. I want to shut up. I'm going to sit Shiva right now. And if I was going to give you 5 minutes to talk to 50,000 leaders about these things, how would you put a bow on what we talked about? And I don't want you to take 3 of those minutes to give back. I want you to take those like 4 or 5 minutes and some final thoughts as you talk to a bunch of sales leaders that hope to have the impact that you've had, that hope to have a coaching tree like you've talked about, that hope to be elite. That's the word that we always use. You use my favorite word. People that want to be average or above average don't like me. If you want to be elite, we get along pretty well. And how would you put a bow on some of the things we talked about if it was a final message to a whole bunch of sales leaders that could benefit from their interaction with you?
I like it. Maybe I just start with what we just talked about. People aren't born elite. I know I wasn't born elite. I was born pretty well. You know, the son of Norman and Eileen Kaplan, I think I was born pretty well into a pretty good family. But you're not born elite. Very few people in this world are born elite. So what that means is you have to develop elite. And if you're a leader, you may be elite, but it doesn't matter if you're elite, because you're not going to win any ball games if your people aren't elite. So that's a responsibility that I think that we all have to embrace today. When we wake up, we got to say, if I'm leading, it's not just about me, but I can't take care of anybody else. Yeah, I like that. Right. I have something on here that says rise and grind.
That's right. I got rise and grind. Yep.
And my other one says no fear, just faith. I love those two things I carry on my wrist. But for me, it's kind of like waking up in the morning and thinking, okay, well, what am I doing as a leader? What am I doing? Well, what I'm doing as a leader is like, you know, I got to think about, first of all, I got to get my people to believe what they do matters. This is not small. Okay, so no matter what you're doing, you're selling services for force management, you're selling software for some company. Why does it matter? And it's the why So when you wake up, not only do you have to find the why for yourself, you have to find the why for your people. And people think about like, oh, this is hard. Like, what's the why? No, it isn't. What is the why? The why is the purpose of what you do. So what do we do at Force Management? We impact sales productivity, and we help companies that can't help themselves with these specific things. That's why we exist. That's our purpose. Why does that matter? Because there are people out there, there are companies out there that are trying to do X, Y, Z things. And I start to, okay, how do you get passionate about that? How do you get people passionate about the why? Because you could have a why, but people go, well, that's not my why. So how do you get people passionate about that why? You give them evidence in the purpose. Evidence in the purpose. Let me give you a quick example. Back in the day, I joined the board of Make-A-Wish, and I was all excited about Make-A-Wish in Charlotte, North Carolina. And I don't want to alienate anybody on this board. It's an awesome board. They do awesome things. But on this day, I went there, and I was sitting there. It was my first board meeting, and they're arguing. There's two chapters, one in East and one in West North Carolina. I didn't know that. But when I got there, I knew a lot about it because everybody was complaining about the East is doing this, the West is doing that. They're stealing our logo and our content. I'm like, wait a second, what meeting am I? I'm like, I almost wanted to vomit. So another dude leaned into me, goes, hey, how you liking the, how, is this what you thought the board was going to be like? And I said, no. And I'm thinking, I'm just going to resign from it on the first day. Well, all of a sudden, Rob, this woman slams her hand down on the table and she says, hey, time out. Do you want to tell me what the last 20 minutes have to do with granting wishes to sick and dying children? Dude, the entire room went silent. The entire room went silent. It was one of the most galvanizing moments in my life. She, in a sentence, described the purpose of why we were in that room. We were granting wishes to sick and dying children. Over. I'm not thinking about quitting. I'm not thinking about myself. I'm thinking about those families. That's what great leaders do. They connect you, emotionally connect you to the why. Okay, but you might need some evidence. Okay, well, last year, and this is what she said. She said, last year, we did 110 wish grants in this chapter. We have a goal of 200. So we did 110, and here's some of the... Okay, what problems do you solve? How specifically do you solve them? How do you solve them differently or better? And where have you done it before? Now my brain's going, I'm all in. In a moment of galvanization, that woman got me galvanized because she connected the purpose with passion. So for leaders out there, that's how you got to do it. And the next thing you got to do is you got to say, okay, what does that look like in the future? Because all your people are going to want to know, if you think you're doing an SKO meeting soon and your people are sitting there, if you don't think that they're trying to figure out whether they want to be there in the next 12 months, you're out of your mind. Every meeting you have, you need to hit this. Like, and so what is vision? Rob, vision is just purpose in the future. Do you understand? What is it going to look like in the future? So you have to paint a vision of the future, but you got to make sure everybody comes along with it. I've seen leaders that say, okay, we're going to be $2 billion and blah, and blah, and blah. And the person sitting there going, so what? Like, what does that do for me? Well, you know what McMahon did? He stood up and he talked about the future of PTC. We are going to be the most dominant sales organization on the planet. We are going to be known for qualification. How do we do it differently or better than anybody else? And where have we done it before? Rob, we went 43 straight quarters of never missing our number to Wall Street. That's 10 years. We were the most predictable sales organization on the planet. Why? Because we believed. We believed. And we had a leader that pointed, okay, now, and he painted a picture of the future. He said, later on in life, we're going to get together and we are going to be the most dominant. And guess what? Last year, I went to a reunion in Naples, Florida, and we're all 60. There's 50-year-olds, a 60-year-old, some people that are older. And guess what? We're still, it's like the 85 Bears, or it's like the Miami Dolphins, the undefeated season. We're still those people. Nobody has ever done that. You know, 30 years later, there's no company that's ever done that, gone from zero to $1 billion. The stock split 5 times in 7 years. We went 43 straight quarters of never missing our number to Wall Street. And you know what? McMahon told us about that 30 years ago, and he said, this is going to be us. So we all stayed. We all stayed. And then when it was time to leave, that same group of people, Rob, went out and created $300 billion of market capitalization out in the market. Why? Because we had great leadership that got us to believe. They got us to focus on the why. They got us to think about what life would be like in the future. And I'm going to do a mic drop right here, bro.
There's nothing else to say. Thank you for using that 5 minutes that way, John. We used every minute of our time. John, I want to thank you. Like I said before, on behalf of 50,000 people, thanks. But, dude, I'm giving you thanks on behalf of me.
I got to be honest with you. I do things during the day that I know. And now I already know before I go to bed tonight and I'm saying, how you living? Rob, you gave me an opportunity to live pretty well today. And I appreciate that, man. Thank you.
His name is John Kaplan. He is the president, co-founder, and juice behind Force Management. They are the people who brought the number one way of qualifying. They have working with iconic companies all around the world. And I promise you, you can learn something about leading. You can learn something about selling. You can become better at what you do if you connect to them, if you follow them, if you implement some of these things. Listen, I'm going to have a lot of videos, chunks on Sales Leadership United, especially that last little mic drop. You're going to want to be out checking out Sales Leadership United just to see that video. John, on behalf of 50,000 people around the world, and more important, on behalf of me, thanks for joining us, man. And I cannot wait to have you around for back two.
You're welcome. And thank you for having me. I really mean it. I had a blast. Thank you.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to another So What portion of the Sales Leadership Podcast, where we break down that interview and we ask ourselves, why did that conversation even matter? But first, this episode is brought to you by Sales Leadership United. Sales Leadership United has had so much growth, and I'm so grateful to each of you who have chosen to check it out. Listen, the purpose of Sales Leadership United is simple. I want to give you access to the greatest and largest collection of sales leadership assets in the world. Listen, I coach over 100 sales leaders, and they're in big companies and new companies and small companies and medium companies. They're in every industry. They are people that are new to leadership, people that are seasoned, tenured leaders, people that are new to their companies, some of the most seasoned leaders in the world. Every one of them is asking for more tools. Every one of them is asking for more insights. Every one of them is asking for more perspective. They ask me questions like, how do you create systems? How do we create foundations? How do we create change? How do you coach? How do you lead up or manage up? How do you connect to a totally different generation? But the number one question I get, what are other leaders like me doing to solve problems like the ones I'm facing right now? And that's why you want to check out Sales Leadership United. Tools, training, techniques, perspective that comes from the benefit of thousands of hours with other leaders from all around the world. If you haven't checked out Sales Leadership United, head to salesleadershipunited.com and use the code ROB at the checkout to get a free trial on me. John Kaplan, how awesome was that conversation? John Kaplan's a big deal in the sales world. I was pumped to get to meet him. I was pumped to get to talk to him. That guy is the real deal. He isn't just a great sales leader. He's a genuine article. He's an amazing human being that really does care about the people he works with. I'm grateful that he was willing to join us this week because I loved everything he brought to the table. I loved his perspective. He's right. We're in a noisy, noisy world. I like to say it's noisier than it's ever been, but John's right. It's always been noisy, and it's always gonna be noisy. And he's also right that life for all of us is about how we choose to react to the noise that we end up facing. Man, I liked that. I wrote that down. I haven't stopped thinking about that. I've gone back and listened to this episode a couple times, and this was a great episode. There's never going to be a time when we don't face noise. We have tons of noise, tons of distractions. We want to focus, and then we have things all over that make us look to the left and to the right. I was coaching one of my clients this morning, and she was talking about her concern about losing momentum. We were recording this at the beginning of Q2. Q1 is over for her, and she's worried that distractions are going to screw up momentum. And I thought about my conversation with John. How do you face the noise? How do you face it? Because it'll always be there. It's going to show up lots of different ways, you guys. It's going to show up as challenges. It's going to show up as voices. It's going to show up as priorities. How do I choose between multiple good things? It's not as easy as bad versus good. Listen, as we live our lives, as we live our careers, as we do the things that we want to do, we will always need to be able to evaluate and respond to noise and distractions. That will never, ever change. And so here's something else that will never, ever change. Your ability to deal with those distractions, that's going to determine the impact of the success that you have, the level of impact you have as a leader, as an individual, as a human being, okay? As a parent, as a significant other, whatever it is you are. John shared so many truths today. It's truth after truth after truth. I think I might have taken more notes on this interview than any other interview I had. Nugget after nugget just kept flying by. And one that hit me square between the eyes that I haven't stopped talking about or thinking about, it came when he shared, success comes in how we handle, I'm doing my air quotes here, the impermanence of life. And that's why I made it the title of this episode. He's right. He said, nothing lasts forever for good or for bad. We got to learn how to change. We got to be able to deal with change. We got to have it not be something scary and have it not be something unfortunate. How do we do that? I thought about it when I was in a one-on-one with a new client today. He said to me, one of the advantages our company has is all of our leaders have worked in this company for like 20 years. And then he said, and one of our disadvantages is that all of our leaders have worked here for nearly 20 years. Then he talked about how the company has been forced into change, almost backed into a corner in some cases around change, rather than being the champions of change, out in front of the change, right? So my advice is to follow John's advice. Identify what's changing. I loved when he had that conversation. Go back and listen to that. Identify what's changing. Get out in front of it. Here's an example. I meet with tons of leaders still, if you can believe it, you're probably nodding your head because you might be one of them. They haven't carved out time to learn how AI can help them as sales leaders. AI to them is something that's like there, but they're not sure what to do about it. Listen, they need to see where it fits. They need to see how it works. They need to identify how to use it. That change is here. And most of the leaders I know are not in front of it. And that's big companies, medium companies, and small companies. We need to stay on high alert, like conditioned yellow at best case, maybe conditioned red all the time. We should always be looking. We should be looking for how we can create unfair advantages that are new, not just competitive advantages. And that's going to help you develop the most important thing you can develop in your team. And it's what John finished with. And it was belief. Man, John's right. It is up to you to connect purpose with passion. Ladies and gentlemen, if you can connect purpose with passion, you're going to win. And then I loved his definition of vision. Vision is really simple. It's purpose just in the future. So understand that every part of life is impermanent. Be fueled by your purpose, not by pressure, not even by the need to produce. Be fueled by purpose. Because if you can do that, then you got a good chance to create believers. I loved how he shared his story where they were fueled by the leader who said, this is going to be us. And then before long, it was. So to wrap this one up, I'm recording this and this is going live in the month of April. April's an important month for me. There's two things that always make me think in the month of April. The first is autism. It is Autism Awareness Month. We want to turn the world blue. That's the color. I hope that you'll take a chance to learn a little more about autism. My youngest son has autism. It played a huge role in our lives. I think it's very likely that you will have people on your team that have autism in their lives. So you want to connect with your team. You should understand this a little more. Be one of those people who leans in. But the second is because April is the anniversary of one of the greatest speeches ever made. Theodore Roosevelt's Man in the Arena speech. I have it hanging on the wall in my office. I've taken and gotten prints on canvas as well, and I've given it as gifts to many of my clients. Here's a portion from that speech that's the memorable part that everybody might have heard. But this month I'm bringing it up to a lot of my clients and I'm always surprised how many people haven't heard it. Here's the most memorable part to me. I'm going to read it to you from the canvas on my wall. It's not the critic who counts. It's not the person who points out how the strong person stumbles or where the doer of deeds could have done them better. The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs, who comes up short again and again, because there is no effort without error and shortcoming, but who does actually strive to do the deeds and who knows the great enthusiasms, the great devotions, who spends himself in a worthy cause, who at the best knows in the end the triumph of high achievement, and who at the worst, if he fails, at least fails while daring greatly, so that his place shall never be with those cold and timid souls who know neither victory nor defeat. I love that. I've actually memorized it. I look at it every day and I challenge myself to dare greatly. And that's what I bet John Kaplan would challenge you to do. Face the impermanence of life, lean in, and do what Roosevelt said, dare greatly. Create an environment where the members of your team can make an attempt to shoot the moon. Don't just get by. Don't just survive. Dare greatly. Create time and safety in moonshots. I had a client this week tell me he didn't like to set goals that he thought he might fail in. And I told him, brother, you're being a cold and timid soul. And he said, what do you mean? And so I read him Roosevelt's quote where he said, you know, if you don't try, your place ends up being with those cold and timid souls who don't know victory or defeat. You just exist. Don't be a cold and timid soul. I read him Roosevelt's quote. I challenged him to dare greatly. I'm going to give you the same challenge. Dare greatly. Feed your future, not your fears. Create belief. That means you got to be a believer. And the best believers, they're able to create teams of believers. Don't ever forget what John said. No one's ever born elite. You got to choose it. So make that choice today. John, thank you for joining me. Thank you for sharing your insights with our worldwide group of listeners. Thank you, even maybe more important for me, thank you for inspiring me today. My advice to 50,000 listeners worldwide, connect with John. Reach out to him. Pay attention to what he shares. Check out his podcast for sure. Tap into his resources as fast as you can. And I've made it easy for you to do it with some links in the show notes. Check them out and use them. And then be sure to head to Sales Leadership United for video clips of this conversation with John and hundreds of other of sales leaders. There will be several videos from this episode you're going to want to use as you work with your team to create a team of believers who deal with the impermanence of life. Finally, thanks to each of you, our listeners. The greatest compliment you can give is to share the show with those you work with. Introduce them to the Sales Leadership Podcast. Leave us a review on iTunes, and you can support the show by checking out Sales Leadership United. Head to salesleadershipunited.com and check it out. You're going to be glad you did. Thank you for your support of the Sales Leadership Podcast. Our job as sales leaders is to create life-changing years for the people we lead. If you like this message, please share it this week with someone who needs to hear it, and then get after it. Because life is short. We got no guarantee of what comes tomorrow. Maximize your today, be elite, live strong, and chase those passions, and then do your best work so you can live your best life. And don't ever forget, you got this, and I got you. Have a terrific week. Thank you so much for joining the Sales Leadership Podcast, the award-winning Sales Leadership Podcast for those sales leaders looking to create legendary impact to those they lead. The greatest compliment you can give is to share this show and any of your favorite episodes with your fellow sales leaders, social media followers, or other communities you're part of. The Sales Leadership Podcast is brought to you by the Jepson Performance Group. If you want to discuss any of the topics discussed on the show, want to level up your leadership impact, discuss executive coaching services, or even include me at an upcoming event, hit me up at rob@jeppg.com. That's rob@jeppg.com. And to those of you working to become a legendary sales leader, I salute you and wish you much success on your journey. Whenever you need someone in your corner, you know where to find me.